Tonight on the show, our heroes fought valiantly to have a 30-minute episode. They tried. They spoke quickly. They tried not to deviate very far from the source material. And they failed. They failed hard. They failed so badly that they not only doubled a half hour of power, they went another 15 minutes. And to add to that, this intro will also take up some more of your time. Let me tell you about this one time we went to the store and bought some cheese. Actually, I'm not going to bore you with that. I'm just going to tell you that it's time for Horseshoes and Hand Grenades, episode 426 for May 31st, 2018. Anthropomorphized Sparkles. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Horseshoes and Hand Grenades, the show that brings you the latest and greatest non-crazy news from all over the planet. Yes, we take that news and we put it into the wood chipper, and then the wood chipper chips it up into really small pieces of news, and then we take that pulp and we pulp it, we put some butter, we mash it with a big mashy pounder stick thing, and then we roll it out, we make paper, and then we scrawl secret things onto it in lemon juice. So when you hold it under a black light, you have the news. That's what you have, and it's awesome, and that's all I got. Hey, everybody. Welcome.
Hi.
We're so happy to have you here. I'm your host, Steven, joined always by the phenomenal, the amazing, the wonderful, the Smashly.
Me.
I remember when you used to introduce yourself as like
An animal?
A panda.
Oh my God, I was totally thinking of a panda too, friend.
Hey, it's almost like we have a mind meld going on.
It's like when we play code names and everybody makes fun of me because nobody wants to be on my team, but
I do.
That's because you want to win.
Oh, yeah.
Because we have a brain thing.
We have the brain thing. We have the brain. That's why we do a show, except we're just different enough that our brains... That, you know, we're different.
You're good. You're good, brain.
I have a good brain, and you have a less than good brain. Not a bad brain, but...
Not a malfunctioning brain, just a...
Well,
just
a... really? I think you might be malfunctioning just a smidge.
Hey, Mom malfunctions. Hi, Lucretia.
Hello, everybody.
Hey, yeah, my mom does listen to the show. Hi, Mom. I get to see her tomorrow.
I'm like so stoked that you guys are vacationing in the like Blue Devil Hill mountain range of smoke. What is that called?
You can call it the Cat Devil Mountain Range Hills of Bears if you want, because you don't really, I don't think it's prudent to tell people on the internet where you're going. Right? Don't you just tell people?
No, that's why I made up the words.
That's probably a good idea. Thank you for the follow, Cow in a Car. We appreciate that. So welcome.
Read that as cow in a car. My brain read that as cow car because I don't read words, and that was as close as I could get to.
Cow car sounded reasonable.
Like a name. Well, it's like some sort of weird. This is the coolest bottle, Steven. Cool.
Talk to me about your bottle. What is it? What does it do? Because you are what we would call a water bottle connoisseur.
Well, you can see my Tudorks bottle on my desk of awesome.
See that. That's a very nice water bottle.
And then this one, like, it was free, which makes it even cooler. It's got this thing, you do this, and then you, like, press the button, and it's like, I will feed you water!
It's like a Transformer bottle there.
Boulder.
That's what it is.
But, yeah. There's like, bottles everywhere, because I've... You know that little girl from Signs? That left...
That left the water glasses everywhere?
Yeah, but hers were half... like used. Mine are completely used, and I just forget to bring them into the kitchen, so they're just littered.
They're everywhere.
Yeah.
I used to keep like the plastic water bottles. I used to drink from those, and then they'd be everywhere. I never finished a bottle of water. Stephanie would find bottles of water rolling around the back of the car, bottle of water like in the garage somewhere, bottle of water in the living room. And it was like, do you drink any of these? And I was like, I do. I do. I drink them.
Partially.
And then
I leave them
somewhere.
I feel like that's I actually have the TKK movement chart up instead of...
What's a TKK?
The Night's King and... It's Dungeon Boss Guilds.
Oh, I was like,
I brought that up instead of our show notes.
Oh, well, that's not going to help you with the show notes, but you know what our show notes... So Ashley challenged me to half hour of power. She was like, I don't think we can do it. And I was like, I think we can.
What's the count?
Right now we're at 5 minutes. There's no hope for us.
We're so good. I think we can do this.
Yeah.
Also, right. We should totally go to Dragon Con with Kelly and Zaff.
That's an offline conversation.
Everybody to hear it so they will bother you about it.
Nothing works better than a little bit of peer pressure. Right? That's kind of what you need that in your life to survive.
They said they brought Codenames to Dragon Con.
That's a great game. I could play Codenames with them. That would be fun.
Right?
You guys, everyone should play Codenames. It's the most easy, fun, super great card game that no one's going to want to play until they play it. And then they're like, okay, I'll play this game. It's the best.
I feel like most card games are like that. Like, even if I've played them before and they're fun when everybody's like, let's play a card game. I'm like, let's play a video game and not. But I always have a blast.
Yeah, man, there's something about, like, pulling out a box and having to get all the cards out that makes you just not want to play.
And somebody misquotes Steven. Oh my god, we should have a misquote section where Steven says there's something about pulling out a box and then just stop.
Well, that's, like, out of context. But then,
that's
what
I mean.
I was reading through our quote log the other day, and I found some gems in there, and I almost spit my coffee out everywhere. I took a sip as I was reading. I was like, this was a mistake. This was a mistake. Factoid of the week. Granite is a natural source of radiation containing 10 to 20 uranium parts per million. What? Oh, pulling out of a box is not what I said, McFly. That is not.
I feel like that should have a Steven slash, like the actual misquotes should have like slash misquote.
Somebody screwed. Yeah, because that is not what I said.
I mean, granted, taken out of context, a lot of the things you have said are all bad.
Oh, you would not believe the things I found in that quote log. Hey, by the way, if you want to title the show, Bang S is the command to suggest the title. See, Zapho just did it. Well done, Zapho. Good job. That's not what I said. It's not what I said, and then it's the show title. Well done, everybody. You're all great. I love all of you.
Have you ever tried to win? No, we have to get this in before we world news, but I promise it will be half hour power. Have you ever tried to put on fake lashes before?
Fake lashes?
Yes.
No, that's not something. I don't need them. I have
beautiful. I like suddenly want to put them on you for some reason.
I have beautiful lashes all by myself.
You do. Your family has like great eyebrows and great lashes.
I do not have great eyebrows anymore. I got married and then I got fat. I lost my butt, my hair. My eyebrows started behaving terribly and I have to trim my nose hairs very often because that's what happens after you get married.
I feel like there was definitely a mark from where your eyebrows were on fleek. To where they
don't say on fleek.
No, that's if I'm ever gonna say on fleek, it's because of eyebrows.
On fleek.
Yes.
I hate it.
I know, but
it's a made up word.
I haven't said it in like months, but because fair. I said eyebrows.
A lot of things are made up words, I suppose.
Yeah, Shakespeare was really famous for that shiz.
I know. We learned that at trivia night when C. Mitch was like, hey, Shakespeare made up like most of the words in the English language. And we were like, what? How do you know this? And then he got the trivia question right. And we were like, that's awesome.
Yeah. I missed. Where is the C. Mitch's?
I don't know.
But okay. So fake lashes. Pain in the butt, right? This is abbreviated. Like, because remember last week I had lash glue on my face and it was burning. So that normally goes on your eyes. So I'm like, okay, I'm not going to mess with the lash glue. I'm going to get magnetic lashes. So there's an upper lash and a lower lash, and you put them together and make an eyelash sandwich, and they just have like little magnets that go over and they just stick, right? And so
oh,
you just
wow.
Right? So cool. I spent 20 minutes trying to stick those MFers on, and I couldn't get them close enough to my lash line. So then I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to stick the bottom on first and then sandwich the top on, right? Because then if I blink, it doesn't matter because I'm holding the bottom ones, right? And I'm like, oh, I'm so smart. Got it on. They were flush with my lash line. I was so excited. They were too effing short for my apparently elongated eye. That's a word that I just made up. So apparently you have to have like a set eye length, and apparently my eye is not that, and I was very upset. And then I realized it took all of my mascara off while I was pulling it on and pushing it off, and that's what she said. And please read the world news now.
So that's so you need to measure your eyes, your eyelash length, and then you actually screwed up your mascara by trying to put them on too many times.
Yes.
So you ended up looking way worse than you started.
Less good. But I did get just the ends, too. So I'm going to take those MFers back and then try just the ends to see
what
those look like.
I think your eyelashes look fine. Like, why?
Yeah, but it's fun to play with makeup.
That's why you need a YouTube channel. Because that's no one thinks
Ashley
that.
Ashley does makeup poorly with sparkles. That would be the name of my YouTube channel.
I think that's a good name. I think people would like that. Ashley does makeup poorly with sparkles.
Yay. Is sparkles a person? A dog? What is sparkles?
Who knows? People will show up. You'd be like, well, sparkles should be here soon. And it's like Jimmy Kimmel it, like he never shows up. Like, we really wanted sparkles to be here, but he just couldn't manage it.
Oh, does he do that? He promises people come on a show and then they don't?
No, Matt Damon. Like, sorry, apologies to Matt Damon. We ran out of time at the end of the show all the time. But Matt Damon's never there.
Oh, because he's not supposed to be.
Right, but it's just a thing. I guess he doesn't ever show. I don't know. I don't really watch late night TV except for the YouTube stuff when people are like, oh my gosh, you have to see this thing that Jimmy Kimmel did.
I watched the mean tweets, like female version and the mean tweets male version over the last couple days, and I lolled real hard.
The kid's lie detector is pretty fun, too.
I like that.
And I would like Jimmy Fallon's Mad Libs, but we did Mad Libs first.
Yes, we did everything first. We're the Chaucer that Shakespeare stole from.
We're the Simpsons did it of the internet.
Yay!
H&H did it first.
Yeah.
World News! $4,100 gallstones surgically removed from a patient in India. $4,100 gallstones. Ashley, how many gallstones did you have removed?
They didn't tell me a number, but they told me like I had a 9 millimeter one stuck in the lower fundus of
my
gallbladder.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, and that it was full, but I don't know like if they were all that big.
9 millimeter. You know that a millimeter, like a centimeter, is 10 millimeters.
It hurt like a mother oofer real bad. And it took me a year and a half to get that shit checked out because I am an idiot.
Yeah, you're dumb. That is crazy.
Yeah.
That is insane.
It was painful.
Like when you're talking about like kidney stones, my dad had a kidney stone once and they were like, it's the biggest one we've ever seen. And it was like as big as a pencil lead. And I'm like, that really... I was like, that doesn't look that big to me, but they were like, well, if you consider that your tubes between your kidney and your bladder are about the thickness of a human hair, that's pretty freaking big. And we were like, oh, yes, that is huge. That is massive.
Wait, so a pencillet, like how did it, that would,
Yeah, they had to go up and get it.
Ew.
Yeah, they did.
Your daddy had a stone baby.
Yeah, they had to go up there and get it. And that was bad. That was like several days in the hospital during my spring break. Actually, come to think of it, everyone's gotten sick on vacations in my family because that was during my spring break.
You!
I don't know what it is.
You did it!
What did I do?
You brought the sickness.
Hey, you know what? I'm down with the sickness. Oh, wow.
Again.
That's so terrible. Alaris. Alariscopic surgeon in India removed 4,100 gallstones from a 43-year-old patient on Saturday. Yogesh Yule, owner of a hardware shop in the city of Nashik in Maharashtra, Western India, has been complaining of intense abdominal pain for a week before tests confirmed he had gallstones and some Native American heritage. Actually, no, that's not true. That was just because you had Native American.
Like, that's true. Yay.
You're like, so like,
wait, India, and just because it's an Indian doesn't mean they're Indian.
Oh, that really did sound that way. That wasn't what I was going for. I was really just going to poke at you.
It didn't sound bad. I promise. That was where my
Okay, good. Because I was like, I don't want to sound like that.
No.
Because you have
sounded like that.
You have Native American blood, and that's why they were like, hey, by the way, if you told us that, you would have been diagnosed with gallstones like a year ago.
No, well, because I was in West Virginia, yeah. And they can all suck my big fatty.
He walked in with his Jim Beam and his glass and was like, let's see what you got there.
Need to eat more fiber. Well, sir, I take like 4 tablespoons of flax a day, and I'm a raw foodie. Well, everybody thinks it's their gallbladder, but you need more fiber. 4 tablespoons of flaxseed would move an ostrich through an elephant's colon, you son of a bitch. God, I hate that man.
And what was this doctor's name? No, don't say that.
If I could remember, I would show up at his door and I would knock him the shit out because I was in so much pain.
You should definitely consider swinging by his house one day when you're home. Just right before the wedding, you know. Dr. Amir Keel, who runs Krishna Hospital in Nashik, agreed to operate on the patient. Each of the stones retracted ranged from 3 millimeters to 4 millimeters in diameter. The surgery lasted 4 hours and required 2 hospital staff members to count the stones. It took 2 hours to reach the final count of 4,100. The patient, Yul, is responding to the treatment and will be discharged next week, said Keel, adding obesity, diabetes, irregular food habits, and cholesterol are reasons behind the gallstone formation. He said that gallstones are made of cholesterol and a patient visits the doctor after unbearable pain is experienced. Commenting on similar cases, Keel said the world record for the most number of gallstones removed belonged to Dr. M.L. Saha from West Bengal, who removed 11,950 gallstones in 2015. That is a butt ton of gallstones. Holy crap.
Zaf's like, why did they count other than to increase their billable hours?
See, Zafo thinks like a contractor. He's like, whatever I got to do to make sure my hours add up. At the end of the day, they count them because I guess it's medically necessary in a sense for research purposes.
They're like, holy shit, that looks like more than normal. Sandy, count these.
Oh, no. What they did is they did that pharmacist thing where they had the giant sheet and the little knife, and they were like, there's 5, 10, 15, 20.
I would be so... My mother wanted me to go into pharmacy so badly, and I did for a while until I realized that A, I can't count, and B, chemistry... And I are not friends. I had to take like the dumb chemistry math over summer to even take the chemistry class. And I was so excited I got a B because I accidentally slept through one of my tests. I've done that a lot.
Slept through tests? Well, I mean, it's worked out for you.
Yeah, I mean, I it was funny because I always was, and it was always like a class that I thought was really hard. Like it was either like math or chemistry math. And I would study and I would do so well and I would just sleep through a test or not show up for a test because I would at the end of the semester I'm like, I am so okay with a B if I don't have to go take this piece of shit test.
Yeah, I agree. It's like if I could just not do this. I did freak out about a test in my film history class and I dropped the class. I withdrew because I was like, no, this is the worst thing ever.
Are you serious? Yeah. That's amazing.
I only had to take like 9 hours to still be on my parents' insurance. So I took like 9 hours a semester. The first time I tried to take 4, but then there's that class, something didn't work out. And then the second semester, I was like, I know what I want to do now. I finally understand. And film history was on the list of things you had to do for my degree. And I was like, I'm going to go to film history. And it sucked.
Well, like, I feel like that's something you would be so into.
Right? I love film. So for somebody to teach it in such a way that I hated it, had to work real hard. And I was like, what? You know? And they were like, you're going to get this blue book and you're just going to write until your brain explodes. And I was like, yeah,
that's fun.
Yeah, I was like, nah, it's cool. I'll do something else. And then I finally figured out that I could make money doing computers, which is what I like to do at home anyway. And I was like, oh.
And get M&Ms.
Yeah, you mean that's a career? If that's a career, I guess I'll do that. That sounds fun. I always thought that the only way to do computers was computer science, and you had to be good at math, and I was terrible at math. And so I didn't know that it was a possibility for me.
I feel like it's funny that your job bribes you to come into work.
They don't bribe us. It's a perk. It's a perk. I can get a bag of M&Ms or
three. If
you'll
show up for work, you get these many things.
I take.
You can also dress like Jedi.
So the way I pack my lunch, I pack like my entree. In many cases, it's a buffalo chicken wrap. And then I go to work, and then I load up on chips and stuff for the side items. So I've got like Wheat Thins and a small Three Musketeer fun size and like a ginger ale or something. And I have
I haven't
amazing
had ginger
lunch.
Ale in ages.
There's a lot of sugar like in there. There's a lot of sugar in a ginger ale. Just FYI, if you were wondering, it's like 49 grams or some nonsense. It's insane.
So speaking of like mixers, Jacob and I were talking about booze for the wedding, right? And I haven't drank in a while. I think just since I started doing the IF stuff, the intermittent fasting, there's like a huge outpouring against not drinking while you're fasting or just really not drinking that much at
it's,
all.
It's not what you'd call good for you.
Yeah, but I mean, I would have wine, like, maybe once a month. Like, I would just drink a bottle of wine, and it either all in one go, or maybe, like, over 2 days. And, like, I tried it when Mom and Dad bought their house. It was my wine. It was the stuff I like, and I'm like, I'm going to throw up and vomit. It was like that college I've had too much to drink the month before, and now I can't drink for a while. Like, that's...
It's too much sugar, I think. Is maybe that wine was really sweet.
Yeah.
And when you doing the intermittent fasting, like your sugar is probably like down to a more normal human level. Yeah. And so it was like, here's an explosion of sugar in your mouth. And you were like, no. I've had that happen.
Yeah. Because the only sugar, we'll get the Ghirardelli dark chocolate with the caramel in it and eat those like squares every once in a while. But like, you just stick them in the fridge so you break one. And it's dark chocolate, so I can't eat a lot because it makes me want to vomit and die.
Oh, yeah.
So, I think that's like the only sugar. Maybe that's what it was. Maybe it's not the alcohol. It's just the sugar.
It's the sugar. I'm telling you. You're going to get
smart.
There. I am. I am a smart person. Shh. Everyone should listen to me. I have great ideas.
Oh, my God. Are we really? Go. Let me
give you. No, we got 7 minutes. We're fine. Small town news. There's no way we make 30 minutes.
No, we got this. There's no way. No, I am not losing this bet. And I like to talk. Student banned for graduation over prank to sell school on Craigslist.
You can't do that.
Apparently not. A Missouri teenager was banned from graduating with his high school senior class. That's bullshit. After a prank offering to sell his high school and Craigslist backfired on him. That's so stupid.
It's so dumb. There's no reason to ban somebody for that. Good gravy.
Literally worked my entire life up until this point to do what I'm doing, and because I made a joke, whatever, F you, Missouri school.
Yeah, this is terrible.
Kylan Sheely, 18, admitted he posted the ad on Craigslist offering Truman High School in Independence, Missouri for sale at a bargain price of
$12,725.
Yay! But Sheely said it was just a joke, duh. The school district didn't see it that way and banned him from participating in the school's graduation ceremony. I decided to say the reason we're selling this is because of the loss of students because the senior class is graduating. He said, that's so funny!
That's awesome.
The teenager said he apologized for the joke, but school officials weren't laughing, gave him the harshest penalty possible, suspending him from the school's graduation ceremony. You guys are assholes.
Yeah, that's pretty
big,
bad.
Big, farty, sexed up assholes.
There better be more to this story than just this. Like, I want this kid to have been, like, the worst troublemaker in the history of troublemakers.
The American Civil Liberties Union of Missouri has since filed a lawsuit, suck it, against the school district contending the harsh punishment violated his free speech rights.
That's too much.
You have to be a tight-assed a-hole. I don't know why I thought I could say it once and not the second time.
Because when you watch TV, they always bleep the well, they bleep the hole. You can say the A, you just can't say the hole.
So an ass is fine, but the rectum is not.
But when you pair it with hole, it becomes a violation of FCC guidelines.
Right, because, you know, why is an ass okay, but an asshole is not, like...
I don't know, but the sub is going to have a hard time keeping up with the swear jar at this point.
Sorry,
you're dying. Well over your 10 that he thought you could keep it under.
I'm hyper.
It was pretty great. No, this is some BS, and if I was less tired, I would have a major soapbox about this. Like, this is a joke. You can't stop people. You
leave it.
The justice system, man. So me and Stephanie, I know we're 2 years late on this, but me and Stephanie finally sat down and watched Making a Murderer on Netflix.
I haven't watched it yet.
And
she told
oh
me I
my
to.
Gosh, have I never been so mad about the functioning. Like, okay, so America's justice system is pretty legit. Like, a jury of your peers is way better than a monarchical dictator like in Thailand, where you have to go tell the king he's a god if you want to get out of prison. We have a pretty decent system. Like, 12 people is a lot of people to have to decide that you're guilty of sin.
The idea behind it is fantastic.
Yeah, 12 people is a lot of people. A judge, he just carries out the sentencing for the most part. The jury, your friends or people that are around you or peers or whatever, say whether you're guilty or not guilty. But the problem is there's a whole lot of shenanigans that can go on in order to set them up against you, for one thing. Like, this particular case, the thing had been covered on the media for 9 months. Like, you couldn't find a person. You could not find a person anywhere that wasn't familiar with the idea that this person murdered a person and, like, all the gruesome details. So, like, you already have to work backwards because you're not supposed to presume guilt. You're supposed to presume innocence and make them prove that someone's guilty. You're not having to prove that someone's innocent. You're having to prove that they're guilty.
If I have a question.
No, yeah.
So based on what you said, talking about, because this has happened a lot with the publications of trials before the juries are picked.
Yeah.
And so you end up with the swayed jury.
Yeah,
and a lot of prosecution rides on that. So do you think with the news the way it is now that a newscaster should be held? Like, how do you feel like they should?
They can't be held. So news is part of free speech, right? Like the press,
yeah, oh yeah.
The press is protected by free speech, but the press has an ethical and moral obligation to uphold that which is set forth in the Constitution. One of those things being like how our justice system works and the juries and all that shenanigans. Like, you can't, they should know better. And I don't know that there should be a penalty, but there should be some sort of governing body of press people that's just like, that's jacked up that you reported this as guilt and in the way you did before this thing ever got underway.
So, yeah, that maybe that's the best way to go to it. Or very similar to when they give coverage to people running for office. Like, if you give this person 12 minutes, you have to give this person 12 minutes. They don't have to accept it,
yeah,
but have to allot time, right? Like, so, because, like, what qualification do you have as a journalist to implicate guilt or to not implicate guilt? The whole Dingo Ate My Baby, I forget what the trial was called.
Right, yeah,
but
yeah.
That was one of the first huge issues of media involved, like, in the courtroom that like, everybody thought that woman was guilty.
Oh, it's
going,
like,
into it.
I mean, you could go to the O.J. Simpson trial. Like, I mean, before that even started, O.J. did it. You know, there was a lot of racism fueling that, but there was also a lot of just, like, okay, let's look at all the pieces here. Totes did it, but whatever.
Right,
he eventually did go to jail.
It's sensationalism, and it's awful because it's literally somebody's life that you're screwing around with because you want ratings.
Oh, yeah, and, like, one of the things that came out of this was the, you know, it's well known that this guy got convicted of a crime that it stacks up that he did not commit. It was likely a conspiracy of the local sheriff's department against him. Jeez. But, like, one of the lawyers who worked it, they followed up with him years later, and he was like, honestly, I'm just going to be really candid. He's like, I hope to God he did it, because if our justice system fails this bad, then I don't even know what I'm doing here.
Yeah.
So, like, it was the dude who defended him. It's like, I know he didn't, but I hope he did, or we're more jacked than I would have ever dreamed. Because he was like, this is crazy. How is this a thing? But anyway, it was amazing. I don't know. I think there should be some responsibility, but I do not in any way condone a government board,
right,
for instance.
Right. Like, telling, how do you balance the free speech versus... the weighty responsibility of what you're doing.
I think the responsibility part from the press is waning bad. Like, I think the days of
by waning, you mean non-existent.
Yeah, right. I mean, like, the days of Walter Cronkite and stuff, like your stalwarts of news that got on and would tell you what happened and that was the end of it. You know, but this is more of, let's tell you what happened. And now to the 18 talking heads, what do you guys think? You know, well, see, and you don't you don't walk away with the facts. You walk away with
speculation
influence
from people that have a journalism degree.
Yeah.
Congratulations. Right. You know what
and there's
a camera is and how to do your makeup.
And influence is easy, right? Like, I could tell you something, and if you don't have all the facts, like, you're just, you like me, you know me, so you're going to go, oh, yeah, Steven said this, that's cool. Until you go tell it to somebody else, they're like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. And you're like, wait, yeah, you're
like the laws of attraction for C-Mitch.
Yes, those are the dumbest things I've ever heard. But you know what? If it works for you, that's fine. Special section. It's the best I can do. What were you doing during the royal wedding? Ashley, what
sleeping.
Were you? Okay, you were sleeping. I'm pretty sure I got up and was sitting with Sam, you know, just doing normal things, watching Rescue Bots or something.
Because
I don't give a crap about the Brits. We fought a war, so we didn't have to give a crap about monarchies and weddings and... All I can think about is those freaking British people having to pay taxes so that these people can wander around and do their thing and get all, like, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Like, I don't, who, does anyone know them? No, they're just princes and stuff. Okay, that's fine if everybody wants to believe that we're in fairy tale land still and, like, welcome to Cinderella where the prince is marrying the thing. And it's, oh my gosh, the royal family, it's such a, everybody's turned on their head because she's a mixed race and, oh my gosh, everything's changing because somebody's singing Stand By Me in church. And I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, we really, like North Korea gonna bomb somebody, Mexico, Venezuela's dictator, Duterte in the Philippines is like trying to choke slam people. Like, we don't have time to worry about who's getting married in the royal family. Like, there's a whole lot of other bull crap going on.
I don't care about any of it. I've decided that news makes me anxious, so I've also decided not to care.
I've removed it from my my Twitter feed. If anybody retweets stuff, I've gotten rid. See, this is what happens, though. You start becoming so upset about it that you stop paying any attention. But at the same time, like, I can't do anything about it.
Yeah,
like,
just
literally can't control it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If it's local or something, like... Like, we had a guy going door-to-door asking us to sign a petition to ban,
Styrofoam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, what's the name?
Polystyrene foam.
Sorry,
Kim. Styrofoam TM.
Yeah. And, I guess Jacob talked about that. And that's when you're like, okay, let's maybe pull back on the ban hammer and let's talk about things we can do locally that is voluntary and not government mandated, because
bans are bad. Bans in general, you should never ban anything. You know, they tried to ban alcohol. They banned books by Laura Ingalls Wilder from school because they used the term engine. Like, yeah, that's pretty wrong, but it's okay. You're gonna read it. It's,
let's be honest, nobody's offended by racism towards Native Americans at all, because it's such a small minority that, like, nobody gives two shits that we were horrible, god-awful people that came into this freaking continent and decided to pick them up, move them halfway across the MFing continent and say, good luck to you in a land you're unfamiliar with unfamiliar animals and unfamiliar plants, and you might be at war with another tribe that was here before you. Okay, yeah. We're going to shoot you in the face if you stick up for yourself.
The Brits did the same thing when they colonized Africa. It's like, yeah. Hey, y'all aren't talking to them. It's fine. Y'all just hang out. It's good. And then Rwanda. And you're like, whoops.
We need a railroad through this section, so we're going to move tribe A over with tribe B, even though you've been fighting since God knows when. But now you're friends because we said so and we got rifles.
Yeah. But at this point, if we can't look at all the history and remove Columbus Day from the calendar without any argument, we got a long way to go.
Nobody cares about indigenous people. Like, nobody. Here's some fry bread to give you diabetes. Have
you're
fun.
Right. Nobody cares. And it's really assholes. Unfortunate. There's no way Horseshoes and Hand Grenades celebrates the apathy. But it's the thing. You're right. Nobody cares enough to make a difference. And the people that do care enough are met by just a frustrating ignorance by everyone else. It's like, what you talking about? You know,
Zap's like, don't you take away my holiday, damn it.
No, you don't have to take away the holiday. We just change it to something more appropriate. We do that all the time. We did it with Christmas and Easter.
Remembrance Day.
You just go, oh, yeah, winter solstice. That's Christmas now. That's cool. No more pagan sun gods. We're just going to call that Christmas.
Easter. No bunny fertilities.
Yeah, so it's like. We can change things. We could change the whole freaking calendar if we wanted to. Like, there should be 13 months. I watched a thing on YouTube the other day where a dude relayed out the calendar, and it was like, oh, this makes perfect sense. Why didn't we do that before? Because you think, like, all these, a month is 4 weeks. That's untrue. It's not true. Say,
wouldn't a month just be, like, the moon cycle? Because wouldn't that be the easiest way to track it?
No, it's really like if you gave every month 28 days and then added an extra month, and then in order to handle leap year, you just have, or at the end of the year, I think you have extra day, because you end up with 364 days if you do 13 months of 4 weeks, 4 7-day weeks each, but you have this extra day, so at the end of the year, you just have extra day, and it's not a day that goes into any of the months, it's just extra day, and you...
Oh my god, everybody should be on vacation for extra day. Extra day right. Sounds fun. I want extra day.
And then January rolls back around, and it's... And the cool thing about the calendar is, because much like March and February, like February has 28 days, then March comes, and it's the same, like all the numbers land on the same day of the week. It's that all year. Like, you always know... It's the same dates on the same day.
So everybody would be Rain Man.
Yeah, and your birthday would always be on Saturday. If you had a Saturday birthday, it would always be a Saturday day.
Yeah, but...
Tuesday.
I like that my birthday is over a holiday.
Yeah, because you get to go to Dragon Con then.
Yes. Isn't it weird how stuff... So I was watching a makeup tutorial from the 1960s, right? Mm-hmm. And you would think, okay, makeup has changed, it's progressed, and the way women wear makeup has changed so much in the last... How many years is it
From the 60s? 60 years almost?
Okay.
50 years?
Yeah, like 50, 60 years. It's got to have changed, right? It was so... Like, the only difference were, like, the textures of the stuff. Like, and that the woman didn't use as many tools. Like, she used a cotton puff, like mm-hmm. a cotton ball to put her powder on. And her hands to put her foundation on. But, like, it was still foundation, concealer, stuff on your eyes. And the way they put... I'm just like, is it so weird how we get shit stuck in our head? And then that's just the way we do it. It's like that story about the woman that cut the ends off the ham before she stuck it in her pan. And finally, your daughter was like, why do you do it like that? She's like, well, that's the way my mom did it. And then they went and asked the grandma, well, you know, why did you do that? And the woman was like... Well, the ham didn't fit in the pan, so I always had to cut the end off of it.
So when it came back around, it was a reason her mom did it, but there was no reason for her to continue.
Right. It was just she saw that was the way, you know, that's the way I grew up doing it. It doesn't mean it's right. It doesn't mean it's efficient. It doesn't mean it can't be changed or modified to be so much better. Sorry, that was a really long rant. I didn't breathe at all.
There's a lot of things we could do a lot better if we would take a step back. That's what disruption's all about. Like, that's why technology and everything is just forcing things in a different direction. Because people are coming in and going, we could do this with software, and we could do it a lot smarter. So let's do that. And then it just turns an industry on its head. It's like the movie pass thing in the theaters. It's like, why are we paying so much money? And the movie pass comes on, and they're like, yeah, why don't you just subscribe to movie theater tickets and go see movies like... however many you want in a month for a low price. I'm like, well, that's a good way to go bankrupt, but okay, if you want to try it, it's not me, so go for it, you know?
How much is the movie pass?
It's like $10 for a month for unlimited movies, I think.
Oh my god, are you serious?
Yeah, and Stone Theaters up in Morrisville takes it. Like, you can go there with your movie pass and just go see movies all month. I don't know. All I know is the theaters make money off of concessions. So
right, yeah, they don't care.
They probably don't care. I mean, I think they get a small cut of tickets. They'll probably have to raise that amount because let's be serious. Movies need movie theaters, and movie theaters need movies, so it should be a much better split than what they get with box office take at this point. Like, anyway. Side note, cool quote I heard from Disney, somebody who had left Disney as part of the Marvel acquisition, said that the thing that Bob Iger, the current Disney guy, said is that we don't make movies to make money. We make money to make more movies. And he said that the actual vibe in the Disney environment for movie making is exactly that. That was what Walt Disney said that, and they said that it continues to this day. That culture of we make movies that make tons of money so we can make more movies that make tons of money so we can continue making movies. Like it's
like a train.
It's not. It seems that it's not. The basic idea was it's not all driven by. Make a movie to make bukus of cash. It was like, we want to tell really cool stories and we need bukus of cash to do that. And I thought that was kind of cool. I was like, that's fascinating.
So there are good ideas and there are bad ideas. I don't care what the teacher told you. There are stupid questions. I don't understand how some of these movies get made. I'm sitting there going, like Netflix. So Netflix has this... this penchant to pump out lackluster movies that are very, very hit or miss. And I'm just like, how much money did you spend on this for this not to be good?
They don't care, though. They don't have...
But why?
Like, so Bright, for instance, was a massive critical flop. And for good reason.
So excited about that.
It was a very fun concept, but it was a massive turd. Of a movie. Like, they could have done a million other things and I would have enjoyed it. Sorry, Zafo, you can enjoy it. It was a turd of a movie to me, I should say.
The idea was fantastic, but I feel like the writing just missed badly.
I want to love David Ayer and his directing, but Suicide Squad was a pooper for me. This was almost tonally identical to Suicide Squad, and I hate that tone. I hate that gangsters have to wear football jerseys and chains.
Oh my God.
It's just so stereotypical and awful, and I did not enjoy it. But it's okay. It's okay. But the point is, they make those movies so that they can get people to sign up for Netflix because they want to watch those movies. Because they don't, they have subscriptions. They don't actually make any money off additional eyeballs.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Like, who?
Yeah,
who?
So they just need to spend that money. They can't just sit on cash. So they're like, I don't know. We got billions of dollars because nobody stops watching. Let's just keep making stuff that makes people want to sign up again.
But I'm just like, there are so many people out there that may or may not have like an education in writing or filming or script writing. And I'm like, oh my God, like give them a chance to do, like if it's going to be shit ball fest anyway, then give these people that maybe don't have the background or wouldn't have a shot or are just coming in, you know, like give them a shot. Let them try. Like, you're not going to lose anything if it's shit, because it's most likely going to be shit anyway.
I think they're trying. They're trying to make it better. Cause, I mean, a lot of those, they've got tons of indie movies. Like, how many times do you turn on Netflix and see, like, new original TV show or new original movie? Like, Cargo, for instance, wasn't ever going to make it into a theater here.
Oh, it's so good. But, like, did you watch it?
No, I haven't watched it yet. But it was never going to make it mainstream. But it can make it on Netflix. You know, because Netflix is like, dang, that's really good. Like, I'm sure they pile through the year's top blacklisted screenplays, and they're like, which ones do you want to make next year? You know, because nobody's going to buy them. So, like, I've actually seen that. Like,
I would have totally seen Cargo in a theater. That was such a phenomenal...
You might have, but they didn't have any faith in it. The studios didn't have any faith that people would see it. It's kind of like, so you've had ample time to make more Star Wars movies. Like, somebody could have negotiated with George Lucas or something to get the rights to make more Star Wars movies. But then they finally figured out, holy crap, nerds are actually spending money, and there's an awful lot of them. Like, where have these guys been hiding? It's like, oh, in our mom's basement playing D&D.
We've been here, nobody gave a shit.
Yeah, but now that you seem to think that we're all have money falling out of our butts because we do computers and we're also nerds, you're going to make movies that cater to us. And speaking of, I freaking loved Solo. Solo was great.
Was it good?
I am unapologetically happy with everything about Solo, minus like one cringeworthy thing that it was early and I can forget it, but it was so fun. It was so fun to watch. I love the dude who played Han Solo. He, like, did his homework. I felt like, minus, like, his voice, the way he carried himself, he was Harrison Ford through and through. Loved it. Loved it, loved it, loved it, loved it.
I'm going to see it eventually.
I would see it again. It was the gangster Star Wars underbelly that we have not had a chance to see yet, and I thought it was awesome.
McFly's like, how did we get here from there?
Okay, so do you want to know about the royal wedding and why I asked about it like 3 hours ago? Pornhub has released new data on the effect the recent royal wedding in the UK had on people's pornography habits around the world. It reveals some rather odd ways people across the globe honored the couple through the medium of cranking one out.
Why is it always in comparison to Pornhub?
Because Pornhub is, they're the barometer for how busy we all are. It seems people were bored. First, here's the respectful bits. Out of a sense of duty to the royal family, the world eased off on jacking it for most of the duration of the wedding. However,
could you repeat that sentence? That was beautiful.
The world eased off on jacking it for most of the duration of the wedding.
That's lovely.
However, here's where it gets a bit grim. The data from Pornhub also looked at search terms surrounding the royal wedding. In the days up to the wedding, searches containing the word royal rose a spectacular 1,865%, and prince and princess also saw a spike as people got in the mood for the big event. Grimmest of all, though, searches for Meghan Markle skyrocketed, going up 2,812%. So people were looking for their Meghan Markle porn as well as prince and princess porn.
I thought that was just like a Google search. I'm like, well, of course that would increase because people don't know who she is. But people were looking for boob versions of Meghan Markle.
People were looking for her on Pornhub.
Oh.
It's actually kind of awesome of them to share all this data. There's apparently a Pornhub Insights. Everybody's got an insights these days, but like it's for looking at graphs and things related to certain stats. But yeah, that's kind of amazing. 2,812%. I'm sure people came up empty handed.
Percent. I get it.
That was pretty good. No, it's. I'm sure it's fairly common for people to start Googling for boobs of famous people they hear about, you know. But there will be obviously the lookalikes coming up everywhere for everyone.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. I feel like I don't know. I have boobs, so like when you see something in the mirror, I don't understand. Like I feel like porn would lose its appeal after a while because like you could only watch someone having sex so many times before you're like
that's why listening to TMS, they have Therapy Thursday, and often there will be somebody that writes in with some sort of addiction, and occasionally it will be like a porn and sex addiction, and it generally revolves around starting small with like simple stuff, and then before you know it, they're at cow and chicken porn because nothing else helps them anymore.
Right? Yeah, it's just like
so. It's just like any other thing. It's like this visual no longer does the job. Need a different visual. Let me pick a more hardcore visual. You know,
because I see boobs in the mirror every day, and I'm just like, so if I see boobs on television, I'm just like boobs. However, if I see a wiener on television, it's you know. I'm like, oh my god, they showed a wiener on television because you can't show a guy's wiener, but you can show a girl's boobs.
Yeah, well, I mean, anytime you engage full frontal, it's a little bit iffy. You know,
I don't know.
Game of Thrones used to have some wieners on there.
See, but I feel like that was more for it's so like the wiener in 28 Days Later, like. The Cillian Murphy wiener when he first wakes up.
There was no sexual intent there at all.
Yeah. It was just like, I'm naked in a hospital, probably dehydrated, and zombies ate my baby.
Jamie Foxx in Django Unchained wiener. You didn't want to see that either, but that was also definitely not sexual.
And then Westworld, there's wieners and boobs everywhere, but the tone is definitely... I don't know how they did it. It was clever writing and clever filming, but... Your brain reads that as that's silicone and fake.
That's interesting. And it's only really a problem in America, like the zero, especially the zero sexuality nakedness, right? Like, we have a problem with any nakedness.
Yeah.
You can watch somebody get their head sawed off after 9 p.m. on NBC, but no nudity, even though everybody's got one.
I do. It's funny how, like, kind of overseas, like, European-ish, it's nakedity, that's a fun word, is fine, right? But, nakedity. I mean, like, we came from that culture, but it's just for some reason when us white folk from the UK got here, we decided to be Puritans and...
Well, I mean, it was Puritans leaving Europe due to religious persecution, at least in some of the areas.
Because they were psychotic!
Well, yeah, they were being persecuted because they were a little weird. But, I mean, hey, they were going to be more rigorous about their moral choices, at least the way they shamed people who chose different paths.
Yeah, so well, you can't even, like, a woman breastfeeding her child so it doesn't starve to death and die.
Yeah.
Like, what a slanderous slut you are feeding your baby in public. You go hide in the bathroom.
Yeah, you should really, like, I have a big issue with people not allowing public breastfeeding. Like, I don't care. If my child needs to eat, my child's going to eat. And right? I'll cover myself. And if that's not enough for you, you can shove it because I'm taking care of business. You cared a lot about this baby when it was in the womb, but exactly. You're going to fuss at me for feeding it once it's out here? Like, you can die in a fire.
It is funny how much we say we need to take care of pregnant women because, like, it's okay to walk up and touch a pregnant woman. It's okay to ask them intimate questions that you would literally never ask a woman ever because it's completely inappropriate. But the second they've had that baby, then it's disappear. Like, oh my God,
everybody
make
vanishes.
It shut up. Like, yeah, especially if it's a poor woman or in a poor area, it's, I don't give a shit if you get vitamins. I don't give a shit if your kid is fed. I only care about it when it's part of you and I should be able to tell you what to do with it.
I want to make sure that you have it. But after that,
who cares?
I don't really care at all. So, hey, I'm not going to tell you out there in listener land what you have to believe on the subject, but you just need to see something through from point A to B, you know? Like, if you're going to love somebody, love them from A to B. Not just, I guess they came out now. I don't really care what happens to them at this point.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, take care of people. Take care of the babies. Let the mamas take care of the babies. And don't disappear. Like, when your friends have a baby, you're like, baby showers are fun, and we're all here to give you presents, and this is great. And then they have the baby, and you don't call them for 6 weeks? Screw you. Like,
that's because, like, women... I actually had this conversation with a chick in the gym the other day with an older lady. She's like, I don't understand why women don't tell women or couples, parents don't tell other couples or parents that it is not okay. It is not easy. It's like going through hell. She's like, I don't know if we're afraid that nobody would breed. she's like, but you don't get this information. You know, it's also, so people, especially people that their kids are older or have never had kids, you just expect it to be one way and it's, holy shit, it's not. From what I've seen, it's not, so not.
No, there's all kinds of stuff. Anyway, it's not necessarily personal, Kelly, because we didn't reach out to anyone after we had Sam and struggled through all that stuff. But there was also no, like, hey, are you guys doing okay? Can I come do your laundry or whatever? Like, outside of family members, you know, like those people that you're like, oh, they were all here for me when I was ready to have a baby shower and then they disappeared. Where is everybody?
Yeah, there was a... Like,
where'd everybody go?
Yeah. Well, it was also rough, too, because you... I mean, this is your first kid. He was sick. Stephanie wasn't feeling great. Like, you didn't know who you wanted in the house or who you didn't want in the house. And everybody had, including me, advice, right? Because you're just like, okay, this is bad. So the only way I can help is, I looked up this. Maybe this works. I read this. Maybe this works. Or this worked for me when I had a baby. Or my baby was also, you know, and you guys are just like, I swear to God, I will set you all on fire.
It was a challenge.
I haven't
time.
Slept in 2 months.
We're only having one.
I will
one.
Eat your face off.
So it's all good. We've got one. He's great. We love him. He's sick right now. Poor little dude. Hey, so we didn't make it a half hour power. Let's do this next story. Oops.
How far are we?
This is usually my story, but if you want to take it, you can. We are at 54 minutes now.
Why are you letting me?
I was going to let you read this if you wanted.
Why?
It's totally yours.
You don't want to read that?
Huh? No, I can read it. I actually have a great time reading it. I just didn't want to hog the mic.
Why? You haven't hogged the
mic. I'm going to read it. Florida man caught masturbating tells police he's Captain Kirk from Star Trek. I'm sorry. I was just tugging it out here. A Florida man who was caught masturbating at a bus stop told police he was a fictitious character made famous by actor William Shatner in Star Trek. That is untrue. He is a total real character. He just came from in the future, so we don't know if he's real or not real yet. He will be, because someone's going to name their kid Jim Kirk, and he's going to be born in Iowa, you know, when the time
comes. William Tiberius, James Tiberius Kirk.
Yeah, Jim. Police said officers received a report of a man masturbating at a bus stop in Clearwater. When officers arrived, they found a man sitting in a bench, touching himself under his shorts.
How long was he at that?
He's working, he was restricted.
I'm working 9 to 5.
The arrest report said it was obvious the man was masturbating. When officers asked him what he was doing, the man claimed to be scratching himself. A lot. Vigorously. according to the report, the man told police his name was James Tiberius Kirk, which happens to be the name of Shatner's character on the popular Star Trek television series and subsequent movies. It turned out the man was neither an admiral with Starfleet nor the captain of the USS Enterprise, but James Bundrick, which is not Kirk. The 56-year-old man was arrested Monday on charges of disorderly conduct and providing a false name to law enforcement. I didn't know you couldn't do that. That's fascinating. I mean, I figure you
should. I think it depends on how asshole-ish they're being.
Probably a lot, you know?
Because that's normally why they go all dystopian future and demand an ID.
Yes. Let me see your papers.
Or what was it in Fringe? It was called a show me.
Really?
Yeah, the cops, you had to give them your show me, which I thought was clever.
That sounds like a children's thing. That sounds like something they train you to do when you're 3, and you just keep calling it that all the way up to your 90. Do you have your show me? Can you give me your show me?
Yeah. Because it was just, you know, the policeman walks up and show me, bitch. It's a dungeon bosser.
Hey, welcome one-on-one, C. Good to see you again. You can get arrested if you refuse to give a name at all. I guess that's okay. They usually tell you not to talk at all and get a lawyer.
My Civ Pro professor, who actually wrote civil procedure that we currently use in the United States, he actually has a YouTube video on it. Do not talk to the police.
Don't.
He's like, just don't. Even if you're being nice and sweet and think everything's going to be great, just don't talk to police.
I learned that from that Making a Murderer. Just shut up. Just don't talk about anything. No matter how innocent you are, just keep your mouth shut.
Yeah.
I need to have somebody here with me.
If that person is having a bad day, or you look like their ex, or they're just a douchehole, then no. Just yeah.
You got rights, and you have the right to an attorney. Use it.
Yeah.
Use that. Like, get one.
Which is really depressing, but...
Yeah, but that's the way the world works, man. You're guilty until somebody says you're not. Moving right along. WTF! If I could hit the button. WTF!
I like that you hummed it. What's the... Somebody post the link for the show titles.
I got it. Yeah, don't forget titles. Put your titles out there.
What's your titles? Muscles test positive for opioids and chemo drugs. That's really friggin' depressing.
That's
and I'm not
shocking.
Talking about like wart muscles. I'm talking about the crap you eat.
She's talking about like your muscles, like your oysters there and your clams and such.
Weirdo things that weird people munch upon.
You suck them down like you're sucking snot off a small small
so
dish.
Gross. It's so gross. And they smell like the ocean farted.
Well, I'm not going to eat anything like that. Nope.
Bah. The opioid crisis, man, that has killed thousands of people in the United States and Canada in recent years is now affecting wildlife. Well, no shit, because we flush everything down the toilet because the TV taught us to.
Yeah, it really did.
The fuzz are coming.
You're supposed to put it in cat. You're supposed to put it in cat litter. That's a big like cat litter. You're gonna throw out because it deters people from finding it and using it.
Well, that it's got like the kaolin clay in it, right? And it's
It's good. It's what you're supposed to. Stephanie taught me that because she said never put them down the drain or in the sink or whatever because we've got all kinds of diluted crap drugs floating around the sewer system.
Yep, and a lot of people recycle water, which we'll probably have to do in the next 120 years. Researchers at the Washington State Department of Fish and Wildlife have discovered traces of oxycodone and other medications in mussels taken from the Puget Sound in Washington State. Lead study biologist Jennifer Lanksberry said.
I like how there's a bullet point.
Comma. Yes. Did you notice my confused pause?
Yeah, you're like, what?
We found antibiotics, we found antidepressants, chemotherapy drugs, heart medications, and also oxycodone. Mussels are filter feeders, meaning they strain out nutrients and plankton from the water to eat. But unfortunately, in this day and age, that also means a dose of pollution. These drugs enter the water by way of human excretion and when people flush pills down the toilet. Wastewater management systems are unable to filter out drugs effectively. That's another, hey, we've done this for a while, maybe. It sucks because we're probably going to have to update all of those systems at some point because so many people are on medication because you don't go to a doctor to get healthy anymore. You go to a doctor to get medication. F you people.
They make more money if they prescribe you something.
Yep. The Puget Sound Institute says the oxycodone was found in amounts thousands of times lower than a therapeutic dose for humans and would not be expected to affect the mussels, which likely don't metabolize the drug. Likely. But a spokesman for the Institute, Andy James, said you wouldn't want to collect and eat mussels from these urban bays. Yeah, I wonder if that was a large part of your diet, if it's bioaccumulative. I don't really know.
Yeah, probably not. I'm sure it could go through you and it would not affect you.
Hey, pharmacist people, is oxycodone bioaccumulative or does it get peed out easy?
I feel like it would get peed out easy or else it would be a much more dangerous thing to have in your system, right?
I mean,
I don't know. I don't understand, and this is my naivety. I don't understand pain pills because I know it's an opioid. But anytime I've ever taken a pain pill, I think I might have been on hydrocodone or something once.
Ugh.
And it makes you constipated at best. And I don't ever remember feeling like, oh my gosh, my brain, I would like to take this recreationally. Like, it just never felt like a thing to me. And I didn't. It's like Xanax. People take Xanax, right?
Yeah.
I have taken Xanax before. I have no idea why somebody would find themselves wanting to recreationally take a Xanax. At best, it makes you tired. Like, I guess some people would say it takes away the inhibitions. Like, just go drink alcohol if you just want to be uninhibited. Like, there's plenty of other ways to reduce your inhibitions.
Yeah, I don't
know.
Because I've had my gallbladder taken out, and then I had my nose, and that's, I mean, Steven remembers this because they gave me, I think it was probably Oxy, and I ate blueberry yogurt and I threw up because
everywhere.
Oh, I was
you threw blueberry up everywhere.
It was awful because I couldn't breathe because I had a stent up my nose and I just had surgery, so my head hurt. And then, but yeah, it's just, and then when I had my gallbladder taken out, I took the pain medication one day and I was like, I am in pain. And I feel like my head is, like, I just felt so dehydrated and shitty and awful. So I'm like, I'll be in pain.
Yeah, yeah. Stephanie almost had a pain crisis when she had her knee surgery. And she ended up taking, like, the most you could take, like, is every 4 hours or something.
Right.
Like, they said every 4 to 6, take a pill. But she had to stay ahead of it or she was in excruciating.
Yeah, she like, was not okay.
For those unfamiliar, she had her kneecap, it broke in
shattered.
Half, and the tendons that your kneecap, it pulled it apart, and then they had to pull them back together and wire them back up, and it was bad news. And I'm pretty sure she was addicted to the pain pills within a day. Like, because of the volume.
She went through withdrawal.
She went through a complete withdrawal, and at one point realized how dangerous these things were because she woke up in significant pain and was like, if I just take a pill, I'll feel better. so I could just take one and just get through this hump and the withdrawal side effects would go away. But she powered through, but she could see where someone would get hooked because of the fear of having to go through the shakes. Because she totally had all of that, like temperature fluctuations.
And she couldn't poop for like a
week. Oh, it was terrible. It was terrible. That was a really rough surgery.
Stephanie's gone through some shit, man.
Yes. She just, I don't know. I wish I could take some of this from her, but I can't. It's just not how it works. But man, oh, I mean, man.
She's good now.
Yeah,
she got better.
She got better. She's walking and doing all kinds of stuff. But man, that knee break. Woo-wee. That was a bad time for everyone. That was tough.
Yeah.
That was tough. But anyway, now that we've been through all of this, oh, I had a thought. I was going to tell you, because we were talking about opioids, I learned a thing the other day, that one of the first drug laws that the federal government enacted was in the early 1900s, and it was because of opium, and it was racially motivated to some degree in that it was mainly aimed at smokable opium, which was primarily used in opium dens in the West Coast where the Chinese immigrants would smoke their opium. However, they did not ban the opium drops that you would mix in water, which was more available and used by white upper-class citizens. Fascinating.
Huh.
Yeah, and they did a similar thing.
We're such a-holes.
They did a similar thing with crack and white powder cocaine. Crack cocaine carried heftier fines than white powder cocaine. Crack cocaine being used often by African Americans in poorer areas than the white powder cocaine, which was being snorted by Hollywood executives.
Because you know us white people can handle our drugs so much better than any other race.
Yeah. But it was laudanum. Yeah, laudanum was the stuff that...
That's what...
Wyatt Earp's wife was on.
Yeah, Wyatt Earp was
on. Everybody hears laudanum and they go, Tombstone!
Yes! Like, it's the only way we know it now.
So we just hear the word laudanum, we're like, oh yeah, the Wyatt Earp's wife was on that in Tombstone.
Yeah, it was so good.
Yeah, he was very concerned about her, so he cheated. Perfectly reasonable. My wife's on drugs. I'm going to cheat with this theater lady. Cool.
We good?
We good. Thank you, everybody, for joining us on Horseshoes and Hand Grenades tonight in our half-hour power. We have once again succeeded at doing everything that we said we were going to do in reducing this show to 30 minutes. If you feel like this show took more than 30 minutes, I need you to go ahead and adjust your clock, maybe go see a doctor, because it was totally less than that. These timestamps and stuff, I think there's a malfunction on whatever device you're listening on. You had a problem there. So not us, totally you. Ashley, do we have anything in the mailbag this week?
No, we're
no,
good.
No mailbag. No. So you guys are disappointing me once again. Please send us your hate mail to hnhshow@gmail.com or tweet us since I'm back on the Twitters with a significantly cleaned up timeline. Ashley, I pruned over 400 follows from my Twitter timeline.
How many do you have left?
120.
So I've got 508, and a lot of them were people you originally followed before I took over this.
Oh yeah,
Twitter. So I don't know.
It's so much better.
I may do because I realize I follow a lot of like shouty activists, which doesn't do anything to help me.
I dropped everyone, even people that I follow that are really great podcasters and post cool stuff. They primarily tweet nothing but retweets of political stuff or their opinions on political stuff, and I had to drop them. One person I thought I'd be able to keep because he retweeted most stuff, and I was like, oh, I can block his retweets. Great, I'll keep him. And I really liked following him. He's a great person. But then the quoted tweets get by. So if he quotes a news article, I still see that, and I'm like, I don't care. It's making me angry. So I had to unfollow them, and I got really upset because I didn't want to unfollow him because I like him, but I can't follow him anymore. But anyway,
I've got
it's
like
helped.
15 like alt FBI, alt Homeland Security, alt DOJ, alt, and I'm just like, oh, I can't, like, I can't.
That's all BS anyway.
Really, yeah,
none of those people are real.
Well, right. I mean, that's the whole point. It's the unofficial resistance, right? But how do you resist by yelling into the internet?
You don't. That's what. That's why I got off of the first place because I felt like everybody thought they were being somehow helpful and
right,
being
yeah. I'm like, I can get perspective, and a lot of people I actually followed for perspective, right? I'm like, I want to follow both sides of this, but it ended up just being bullshit loudly, and I stopped getting on Twitter. So maybe I will get on Twitter if I delete 400 people.
Maybe you should give it a try. So I don't have it on my phone, so that's not a thing that I do, and I don't visit it very often anymore because it moves so slow. Because I'm not following 500 people, the timeline, like, if I go with every 10 minutes, that's almost enough to just keep up. And even then, I don't see anything necessarily that I'd want to respond to. But it's been a decent, it's fixed a lot of the problem anyway.
I follow a lot of people. Tell us who you follow on Twitter and if we should follow them too.
Yeah, throw it out there. At @2dorksTV, send us your Follow Fridays tomorrow. We'd love to hear from you there. Also, if you listen to the show in podcast form, which I know at least over 100 of you do, because I actually finally checked the stats and was shocked to learn that we had like 128 downloads of one of our shows recently.
Yay! That makes me happy. We love you guys. Like,
who are you 128 people? Well, we love you, and we're glad that you're listening.
Leave a review!
Yeah, totally leave a review. If you're enjoying it and you still listen, give us a review on your favorite podcasting service. 5 stars, because you love us. If you want to help us out in different ways, you can also send us bits over Twitch. You can tip us at twitch.tv or 2dorks.tv. No, that's not it. 2dorkstv.net/tip. Seriously, I know how to do this show. Just send us a dollar or two. That would be awesome. Or spend your Bezos bucks by subscribing to the channel. That would be awesome. And we're going to leave you guys with these words of wisdom from Lucretius. It's not my mom's name. It's Lucretia. But this is Lucretius. The drops of rain make a hole in the stone, not by violence, but by oft falling.
Right?
By often falling. That's interesting.
Right?
I like that. So don't be violent. Fall a lot. I can do that. That's one thing I know I can do for sure. You guys are the best. We'll see you next time on Horseshoes and Hand Grenades.
Bye.
Whoop, that's the wrong button.
That's also the wrong button.
That was definitely wrong. Hey, let's try that again. See you next time on Horseshoes and Hand Grenades. Bye.
I'm unfollowing so many people.